If you look with me in the Old Testament in 2 Kings chapter 4, we're going to read a few verses here in 2 Kings, 4th chapter, beginning with verse number 8. Amen. I love these wonderful stories in the Old Testament related to these prophets, Elijah and Elisha. This is just one of them, but this is a great story. It fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, "Behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither." It fell on a day that he came thither and turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call this Shunammite." When he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto her, "Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host?" And she answered, "I dwell among mine own people." And he said, "Well, what then is to be done for her?" And Gehazi answered, "Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old." And he said, "Call her." And when he called her, she stood in the door. And he said, "About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son." And she said, "Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid." And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. We'll stop reading right there. I have last Sunday talked to you on the same subject that we're talking to you about today, and also on Wednesday night, a similar subject. From different texts, different places in the Word of God. If you remember last week, we talked to you about Jesus sending his disciples into a storm. And when they got out there in the middle of the storm, Jesus has gone to pray, but he's watching them toiling and working and rowing against the storm. And then Jesus walks on the water. The very thing that has them so frightened and so overwhelmed by, Jesus is walking on it. And Jesus walks out there. And the key phrase that we used last Sunday morning was that phrase where it said, "And he would have walked on by." He would have passed on by. But they cried out to him, asking him to deliver them and to save them. And the Lord came into the boat and set them free from the storm. And the storm was subsided, and the Lord moved for them. Wednesday night, we talked to you about a man by the name of Bartimaeus, a blind man who was on the side of the road. And I'd say he'd spent a lot of his time on the side of the road. He was blind, and all he could do was beg enough to survive. That had been the life of Bartimaeus. But this day was a different day, because he heard that the man Jesus was passing by. And so the Bible says he lifted up his voice. And really what he was saying to Jesus was, "Please don't pass by. Please hear my cry." And we know that that's exactly what happened. That Jesus heard the cry when he said, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me." So these These stories have some similarities to them. There's another story in Luke chapter 19. A man who was a publican, a tax collector, his name was Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a short man, and he heard that Jesus was passing by. In all of these different places that we've read to you from, Jesus is passing by, and every one of them had to do something to see him step in and help them. And Zacchaeus climbs up into a tree. He's short. He's afraid he's not going to be able to see Jesus or be seen by Jesus. So he climbs up into the tree, and Jesus sees him. And not only does he see him, but he tells him, I'm going to go to your house. And his life is going to be transformed and changed because of that encounter with Jesus Christ. So in the case of those that were in the boat, they cried out to the Lord. He did not pass them by. Amen. In the case of Bartimaeus, the blind man, he cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And the Lord heard him. The Bible says he stood still and said to the blind man, what would you have me to do? And he said, that I might receive my sight. That's what I want. I'm blind and I want to be able to see. In the case of Zacchaeus, he knew that he was a sinner. He knew that he was unworthy, but he also knew that his only hope was Jesus. So he climbed up in the tree. He went way out of his way. He went extreme in his efforts to be seen of the Lord because he wanted to invite Jesus into his life. Amen. Now we've read to you today from the Old Testament. The Bible says there was a woman as Elisha, the prophet, is passing through a place called Shunem. Now remember, Elisha was the prophet when Elijah was going to be taken up into heaven. That Elisha was the one that said, I want a double portion of your blessing. I want a double portion. The scripture records 16 miracles in the ministry of Elijah and 32 miracles in the life of Elisha. The Lord gave him the desire of his heart because he wanted to have this double portion. Actually, Elisha represents the power of God. Elisha represents the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost of God passing by. Amen. He was known for his mighty power with God and for all the wonderful miracles that he performed in his life and his ministry. And so for the prophet to be passing by, it meant that the Spirit of God was coming by, the potential for power with God to pass by. Now the Bible says this woman was a great woman. Interesting, you know, whatever commentary you read, you can get a different opinion. But actually, when you look at the word, the Hebrew word for this woman who was great, it just means that she was noble, she was honorable, she was full of character. Amen. She was a great, great woman. And it says she constrained him to eat bread. So when he would pass by, she would say, hey, I've got a meal prepared. I've got some bread. Would you like to step in? And he would step in and he would eat the bread and partake of the meal that she had, and then he would leave. But this great woman, it wasn't enough. She wanted more than just a little brief encounter with this prophet of God. Amen. She wanted God to move in her situation. She wanted God to move in her life, in her needs, in her family. She wanted to experience more of the power of God. You understand that the Spirit of God is always at work and always moving. There's never a time when the Holy Ghost of God is not moving in our world. He is always working. He's always moving. Amen. There's no time. He's like the river that's described there in John chapter 7. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of water. It's always moving, the river, always moving, always flowing. And that's the working and the moving of the Spirit of God. Amen. Always working and always moving. Amen. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, it describes the earth without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the earth, but the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, moved upon the face of the water. The Holy Ghost has always been moving. Amen. The Spirit of God is always moving. You may not feel it. You may not be able to experience it. You may wonder, Lord, where are you in the middle of all that I'm going through? Where is the Spirit of God? Where is the power of God? But be assured that God is always moving. Amen. Hallelujah. All of these accounts, everybody took desperate measures. Those disciples in the boat, they yelled out, Lord, have mercy on us, save us. Amen. Same thing is true of Bartimaeus. I mean, they tried to quieten him down, but the Bible says he cried out the louder. Then Zacchaeus climbed up in a tree. All of this was really desperation. Desperate times demand desperate measures. Amen. We are living in desperate times, and it demands desperate measures. The church needs to be crying out to God more than we have ever cried out to God. We need to be praying more than we've ever prayed. We need to be crying out and reaching out to the Lord. We need to be going to desperate measures. Sometimes it's fasting. Sometimes it's long extended times of prayer, because desperate times demand desperate measures. And I'm convinced that during the time that we're in right now, we need more than just men's opinions and news media and all this baloney that you can hear from every source. We need to hear the voice of God. We need to be in tune with the voice of the Lord. And the only way for that to happen is for us to get desperate before the Lord. In all of these cases, people got desperate. They went to extreme measures. Now you just think about this woman, this Shunammite woman. She was great, but the Bible says that she went to her husband and she said, let's build a room for this guy who passes by all the time. Now you just think about that. How many husbands would build a room for a guy who just passes by on a regular basis? He knew she was a great woman. She knew that she recognized this prophet was a holy man of God. She said, I perceive he's a holy man of God. So he knew that his wife was great, that she was honorable, she was full of integrity. No husband would build a room for just any man passing by to stay with them. He understood that her motives were pure and honorable and godly. She just wanted to hear from this man of God. She just wanted to be in the presence. She wasn't satisfied for him just to stop by for a meal. No, she said, I want more than that. Let's build him a room. Let's make room for a move of God. Let's make room for God to move. Let's do something. Extreme measures. I'm telling you, this was extreme, wasn't it? Amen. It was extreme that she went to, because she wanted this holy man of God to come by and to stay longer. She wanted to hear from him. She wanted to be in the presence of God. She wanted to see the power of God working in her life. Amen. The Holy Ghost is always moving, and the prophet of God was always on the move. And he was passing through Shunem. And he would pass through there from time to time, and she would give him a little bread or a little meal. But she said to her husband, I want more than that. I want more than that. I want to have an encounter with this man of God. I want to hear what he's got to say. I want to hear and see the power of God. I think the church has got to come to a place of real desperation in this hour. We're willing to do whatever we have to do to make room for God to move. If you're going to make room for God to move, you've got to push out all of the other things that are going on in this world. Push it all out of your mind. Get it all out of your spirit. Don't allow all the talk and all the negativity and all the hopelessness. Don't allow all of that to destroy what God wants to provide for you. God has some wonderful things He wants to do, even in a time of crisis. Amen. He wants to come by and move for you. She was great because she was a woman of integrity. She was honorable. She was godly. She was great because she had a desire for more of the power of God in her life. That's what she wanted. She longed for more of the power of God in her life. You and I, we need more of God. We need more of His power. We need to be able to pray more powerfully, more effectively. We need to be able to be stepping out and doing things for God in this present crisis that we're in right now. We need to be available so that we can serve and minister and bless people, do whatever we have to do. Go out of our way in whatever way, if it's climb a tree or whatever that it might be, if it's build a room, if it's whatever the extreme is, we need to make room for God to move because He's passing by. Amen. Seemed like everywhere I was reading in the scripture, I was reading about Jesus passing by. And they would have to cry out to Him, come, come, come. Just because you have a need doesn't mean that it's going to happen, that God's going to solve your problems. No, He wants to know if you are going to turn to Him. He wants to know if you're going to look to Him, praise God, and put your trust in the Lord. Amen. Like I said, Wednesday night, I was feeling kind of down because my friends were sick, and Evelyn Ormsey, she's a real lady of faith. And I got that message from her. I wonder if I can play that for you. Will it work?
Let's see. Every time I do something like this, it don't work that good. Let's see. Messenger, yeah.
You'll hear the oxygen.
Burning. By the time this is all over with, you and I are going to be dancing on the head of the enemy. We're going to be shouting that shout. The warrior's cry. In Jesus' name, we're more than conquerors, Vernon. Love you, brother. Thank you so much.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When I got that message, I was so encouraged to know that she had put all of her trust in the Lord. She was trusting the Lord to come by. Amen. Thursday, then I got the message from Harry. They're turning the oxygen levels down so that to see if she can endure it. They're still trying to keep those oxygen levels down. I believe that God is moving in that situation. And as she said, we're going to be dancing on the head of the enemy. Praise the Lord. Amen. And we're believing God for a miracle. And God can do some wonderful things. Now, this woman was... she was motivated by a desire for God's power in her life. She wanted to hear the voice of the prophet. She wanted to experience the power of God. And she went way out of her way and built and furnished a room for Him so that when He came, she could hear from the Lord. Praise God. Amen. The other thing about this woman, she was great because she trusted God. She was completely contented with what she had. She knew that she didn't have a child. She knew that it was probably going to be unlikely that it was going to happen. But the prophet of God wanted to know, what is it that you need? He said, you've taken good care of us. You've been careful to take good care of us. So what would you want me to do? You want me to speak to the king? Would you want me to say a word for you in the palace? And she basically what she said was, I'm content. I'm satisfied with what I've got. I'm fine. I'm just fine. But the prophet said to his servant, what is it that she really needs? What is it that she needs? And the servant Gehazi knew. She does not have a child, and she longs for a child. Praise God. She built a room because she knew that God could do the impossible. That God could work in her life and her needs and do the impossible. And in that situation, likely it was an impossible circumstance that she was up against. But she invited this prophet in. She invited it. And if we invite the Spirit of the living God into our lives, we go out of our way to welcome Him into our lives, then we can believe that God is going to do some wonderful and mighty things for us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And this woman, the prophet said about this time, he was really saying to her, in about 9 months from now, there's going to be a baby boy born. Oh, she was so unbelievable. How can this be? Don't lie to me. How can this be? This is too good to even imagine. That's exactly what happened. Praise God. She desired God's presence in her life. And something about the presence of God in your life, and things will be changed. The Spirit of God coming into your life, and your life will be changed. Everything will be turned upside down by the working and the moving of the Spirit of God in your life. She wasn't desiring a child. She was desiring more of God. She was desiring the presence of God, and went out of her way to welcome Him into her family and into her home. Yes. Hallelujah. All of these cases that we've related to you from the Scripture, each one of them, they went out of their way. It was desperate measures. Amen. Desperate times demand desperate measures. Have you ever got desperate before the Lord? Have you ever faced things and you just thought, Lord, I can't go on in this. I got to have you step in and help me. You just get desperate before the Lord. Amen. Have you ever got alone with God in a quiet place or a closet of prayer and just said, Lord, I'm here and I need you to move with me and with my situation. I can't go on anymore without your help. Amen. Thank God that when we make room for the Spirit of God, He comes in. And He moves. And He changes homes. And He changes families. And He changes circumstances. And He can help you today if you'll make room for God to move in your life. Make room. That means you're going to have to push out a lot of junk. You're going to have to push out a lot of things that are not pleasing to the Lord. Get it out of your life. Separate yourself from all of those things so that you can make room for God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Make room for the Spirit of God to move. Amen. This woman was, you know, this prophet was passing by. Jesus was passing by. In all of these accounts, Jesus knew their needs. He knew their problems. And He was passing by. They had to make the move. They had to cry out to God. They had to go to desperate measures to climb a tree or to build a room. They had to go to desperate measures to see God work in their lives. And some of you and some of us and me as well, we all have things that we face and some are facing, and you need God's help. Nothing else is going to solve it. Nothing else is going to create a solution or an answer to what you're going through. You need the help of God. You're going to have to go to extreme measures. Make room for the Lord. Amen. He's always moving. He's always moving. He's moving right here in this place this morning. The Spirit of God is right here walking up in the aisles of this sanctuary. He's around this altar. The Spirit of God is in this place. But what you need to do and I need to do is we need to really go out of our way to welcome Him into our needs, into our lives, into our circumstances. So would you stand with me this morning all over this building? Obviously, I don't know what you're up against. I don't know your needs. I don't know your worries. I don't know your trial, your fears. But I do know this. The Lord is here. The Spirit of God is in this place. Hallelujah. He just wants you to make room for Him. He wants you to go out of your way to call out to Him, to cry out to the Lord in your present situation. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Some of you that are really in need of help from the Lord, you need answers, you need God to move for you. You just need the mighty power of God in a fresh new way. To begin with, step out and come here to the front of this building right now. You need the Lord's help in some particular situation or need that you have. Some fear or doubt or worry or whatever that you're up against. Maybe you need healing or whatever you're in need of today. Would you step out and ask the Lord for help? Hallelujah. Desperate times require desperate measures. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, He's here in this place today. If you'll just reach out to Him, He wants to help you. Glory to God, He wants to help you. He will speak to you. He will minister to you. If you'll reach out to the Lord, hallelujah. He knows all that you're up against. Anyone else in this building today, you just need God to move in your life, in your needs, your circumstances that you are in. You're really in need of help from God. I want to ask you to come. Lord, would you come and move? Lord, would you pour out your Holy Spirit upon these, Lord, that are gathered into this altar here today. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit of God, surely you're at work today. Surely you are mindful of every person that's in need. It's gathered here at this place. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to welcome everyone to come.